Before we open God's word, let us pray together. Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for gathering us together within thy house of prayer. And we give thee thanks that we have thy word preserved for us, that we might open it, that we might read, that we might find blessing and direction in our lives. Thou dost know that we have need of thee and the light that comes from thy word. And we're so thankful that thou dost offer it to us and hast given us the blessing of being able to fellowship with one another round about thy precious word. How good it is, Lord, that we can trust in thee and not to have our trust in men. How refreshing it is to our souls that thou art the one true God, and thou dost hear our prayers. And it would just simply be our request that thou would do as we have sung, that we would praise thy name, that each and every soul that comes within the hearing of thy word would find the deliverance and the freedom of being found in Jesus Christ and being clothed with his righteousness, to be delivered from sin, and that thou would fill our every need. Help us to look to thee and thee alone, expecting and asking in faith all these blessings and much more, Lord, according to thy will, whatever thou would have for us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as the word has opened up, and the desire to stay with the same as is found in Luke chapter 2, begin with the beginning of the chapter.
Наша Евангелие по Луци, друга глава.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass then after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in the favor with God and man. Read the entire chapter. God bless the precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. The name of Jesus, the one who brought us salvation, the one who came and endured temptation, endured the cross, who brings us forgiveness. Isn't his name sweet? Beyond anything that we can measure, because he is the only one, and that is the only name through which we must be saved. There was a time when the word was preached, in the time of Nehemiah. Perhaps the first time they heard the law, and they wept at what they heard. Nehemiah told them, "Don't weep. It's a day to rejoice when we can think of the word, when we can realize that its conviction is good for us, when we can look at the word and we can see that God has been faithful, when we can see what he's brought us through, and we can weep in response and not pass it over quickly. That's a day to rejoice when we respond to the word, when we respond to the call of the Savior, when we respond to the name of Jesus, that powerful name, a sweet name, a name that brings to our memory where we came from, just like these shepherds in darkness, watching over our own affairs, not minding or caring what was going on in heaven. But God, in his mercy, sent a word to us who are God's children, a word of good tidings and great joy. And Nehemiah told the people, "The joy of the Lord shall be your strength." Do we not need strength to take each step of faith, to resist temptation, to turn away from doubting, to give up the things that are hurtful to our soul? We need the strength of the Lord. And it is his joy that gives us that strength and hope. The joy of the Lord. The Lord rejoices and takes pleasure in his Son. And that's our strength. That's our hope. That's the reason why a believer can be at peace. That's why we've learned to follow Jesus. We desire that joy. We desire that satisfaction of knowing the Lord and being close to him. It's all made possible because he came to us. He came in a simple way, but he came in a way that no one would be left out. There are some people that are born to privilege and are born into families of great wealth or power. It doesn't happen to everyone. This simple birth, a simple place, simple parents, is where Jesus made his home. King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who says, I am first and I am last, the one who says, I am the God of Israel, I am his Savior, and there is no other God but me. And he made his home in a simple place. And it's his desire that he would make a home, that he would reside and sit upon the throne of each and every one of our hearts. Are they not simple places? Formed from the clay and the dust of the earth. Not the precious metals. Not the cleanest and most pure. But what he is able to do to purify our hearts, to draw us to himself, makes it a place that he desires to dwell. And so he is not out of reach for anyone who would look to him in faith. It may not be a constant thought or desire or interest in every person's life. There were probably many in Bethlehem that were completely unaware of what was taking place. But he was coming near. There are some prophecies in the book of Isaiah where God reassures the people, his people, that when they would go through waters, that he would be near them. When they would go through fires, he would be close to them. Is that not what we need? You may not realize it, and you may not even have a desire for it. But when you are ready, and when you are willing, if God should tarry and give you days, which we are not promised, but if that should be in his will, he'll be there. He will be near, and he will be closer, and he will stay closer than a brother. And that is our great joy. And his love and understanding, they come to mind and flood our thoughts and put away all of the fears and the doubts and the anger that might seek to lodge itself in our hearts when we hear that name. Does it not? That name of Jesus. The name before which every knee should bow. And that will take place. But how about in our hearts? All of our thoughts being taken captive to the name of Jesus and to his presence. That as the world and as life's experiences would put before us opportunities, that we would ask the Lord for his guidance. The Lord, how will this serve God's kingdom better? This is the name that needs to be in our hearts and minds at all times. There was an eagerness and a desire upon the shepherds to come and see what they had heard about. As they witnessed the worship of God through their message and the proclamation that this heavenly gift had been given, They dropped everything to come and hear and to come and see what they were told about. And they came quickly. We're often instructed to listen today and to give our all. And that's given for us in this example of the shepherds, who themselves were not the highest class, of course, who were simple. So this is for each of us. No one is excluded to hear the greatest story that was ever told and to know and have the greatest one living within our hearts, to receive his promises, that we can also see as we put our faith and trust in the Lord, and as we respond to the word that we hear, and as we submit our hearts and lives to his guiding and his direction, and what the word teaches us is our obligation to do, we begin to see the work of God changing things in our lives that no one could have imagined or done. And we begin to see, and we begin to bear witness of the power of Jesus Christ in his resurrection, bringing life from the dead. We who were dead in sin, who were in bondage, we find new strength. I should say, those of us who are God's children, we found new strength. We found the ability to say no to sin. We found the peace of God that passes all understanding. And there's no place where the credit could belong but to the name of Jesus, him alone. So that is very good news for us. And we pray for those who do not know the Lord yet, who do not know the Lord in this way. Maybe you have heard the message before. Maybe you have heard the invitation to come. But you have not put your faith and your trust in the message, in the messenger, in Jesus Christ, and what he has done for you, and that you could see him working in your life. It's our prayer that you would, and that you would have that joy within your heart, that peace that passes all understanding, to know that before God you're forgiven, and that he has promised to be your guide and keeper, and that he is preparing a place for you, far better than the place that was prepared here for Jesus' reception. Far greater. You can't even measure it. But the shepherds returned. They glorified God and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That is a beautiful response. A hearing, a quick and complete abandonment of all to investigate and to make sure. And once that is confirmed, going about glorifying and praising God. It's a beautiful summary of the life of a conversion and a life hid in God. And they glorified God for all the things that they had heard and seen. As we look back on a year, we can think of the things that we've heard, that we've seen. It's probably some things that we wish we could forget, that were hard, that were painful. The Word teaches us to be thankful for all things. In some way or another, beyond our ability to comprehend how God will work all of this out, those things played a purpose in his plan. And it's said that this account is the greatest story that was ever told, and it is. It's the story of God's love for his creation and what he has done to provide a way of returning unto the Lord. And ultimately, that story will end when time itself will end and eternity will begin. And all things will be summed up and settled in Jesus Christ. The beginning, the middle, and the ending of the story is all about his purposes, about Jesus Christ. And somehow, the things that have happened are working towards that ultimate goal. And we can be thankful. We can express our thanks. We can perhaps forget the things that were painful and consider, what will I do now? How will I respond? How will I be of service to my King? How will I bring praise and glory to God for the things that I have seen and I have heard? As was mentioned in the prayer, and as we've read the examples of Simeon and Anna, we see two examples of those that were listening to the Lord. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he was moved, and he came to the temple by the Spirit. This voice that was perhaps soft and still had guided him and directed him to where he needed to be and what he needed to do. That's the same for us. The Holy Spirit, which has been poured out upon the believers who are in the covenant of God through Jesus Christ, have the guidance, have the direction that we need to be where we need to be, to do what we need to do. For what purpose? To testify of Jesus Christ and to bring glory to God. And finding that opportunity, Simeon was satisfied to be done. If there is one thing that you pursue in this life, what would it be? That you would be satisfied after it was done. Would it be for God? Would it be in his service? Simeon was ready to go. And that is the most important preparation that we can make. To be ready for eternity. To be ready to close our eyes to this world. And it is only possible through Jesus Christ. Finding the forgiveness of our sins. Accepting in faith and trusting that yes, Jesus died for me. Embracing and submitting to the power that he offers to us in obedience for however long or short we may live. May God give us the grace to listen to the name of Jesus and allow the thoughts of his forgiveness, His mercy, His love, His nearness. Flood our thoughts and bring all our thoughts and actions to bow to that name. May God bless His word.
Tells us that the shepherds were abiding in the field. And they were told that there was going to be a sign. If there was ever a time for a sign, this was it. And the sign was a baby. It was a babe. Simeon, he realized that the Old Testament, the prophecies in the Old Testament were unfulfilled. There were the unattainable precepts. There were so many deficiencies, unfulfilled promises, and so on. And he knew by reading the book of Daniel that there was only one person who could reconcile all this together and complete and make it all complete, and that was Jesus. And the Holy Spirit told him, you will see, you will not die until you see. As he is told here. And he's waiting for the Messiah. And it tells us here that the Holy Ghost reveals to him that he should not see death before he's seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he went and he looked and he saw a baby. And he recognized by the Holy Spirit that this is the Messiah. And he was now ready to die. Death was no longer a devourer. It was a deliverer. He had seen salvation by Jesus Christ. The realm of Satan is reeling. The Savior has come. And he takes the child in his arms and he blesses God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Peace on earth. The angels herald had brought a peace without war. Napoleon says, if you want peace, prepare for war. Jesus brings peace without war. He's the only one who does that. Israel was waiting for him, but they didn't want him. They didn't want a meek Messiah. They wanted a militant Messiah. And they hounded him, and they pursued him to the cross, rejected him. But dear ones, whosoever believeth in him. John, it tells us here in the previous chapter, shows his upbringing and how he had heralded the coming of the Lord Jesus and so on. But all of these who were waiting had something in common. They were reading the scripture, they believed, and they waited. And the promises that they were given were seen. Paul himself said when he was in the law, he couldn't keep it. He couldn't keep it. Romans 7 explains it beautifully. There had to be someone, and that person was Christ, to complete all things. He is the answer for all things. He is the one who brought peace. And so, dear ones, are we going to do what Israel did? reject him because he doesn't fit what I want. Simeon looked upon a baby, took him in his arms, and blessed God because he saw God manifest in the flesh in Jesus Christ. May we also see the same and praise God and worship him for the peace that he has brought into our hearts and in our lives. Amen.